Welcome to Conversations. I'm here with Lisa, and it's just great seeing you, honey. We are a week away from Christmas, and you know, Lisa, we did a survey and on our Facebooks, and we asked some questions, and you and I both see in the survey results what we've always known to be true since we've been believers, that there are probably a lot more challenged people at Christmas time than fulfilled people.
Well, I mean, I think there's challenges and I think there's fun things. And I think that there's ways to constructively restructure your Christmas so that changes. And I think that this is a great opportunity to talk about some of these things.
Yep.
You know, repeatedly we saw some different things, and I want to address some of the challenges. You know, I kind of want to do, maybe we should do a challenge and then a fun tradition and then a challenge.
That sounds great.
I think this was a pretty strong one. There's this very huge expectation of buying gifts and a lot of them, even when you don't have money.
We faced it.
And here was the thing. I remember we finally had to say, hey, we're just going to have to hand make some gifts. And there was a couple slim years, and
you made the most beautiful baskets.
I made wreaths, but that's sweet. I didn't make baskets.
Oh yeah, they were wreaths. I'm sorry. I just know they had straw in them.
Yes, they were straw wreaths. I don't know if they were the most beautiful, but hey, it was our best attempt at the time. And because we wanted to do something that said we love them, and we wanted to do something that said Christmas, but we knew we could not actually compromise our finances to just make people feel like they had gotten something. And I think that there's a lot of people that feel a lot of pressure about that. And I think, you know, what I would say to them is you might need to have a conversation with people. You might need to say, hey, I love you and I want to take you to lunch and spend time with you rather than just buy a gift for you that's going to cost me $50.
So that's better than going into debt?
That could be better. And then you're actually building relational equity rather than just opening a gift. Or if you're in a situation where you don't have any money, you know, our kids used to do little cute things for us. Like they made those little coupon books where they would give us like organizing, the pantry, foot rub, back rub, hairbrush, you know, different things. Like they had these little things where they would offer to do things. And I think a lot of times we need to have some jolts about what actually is saying that we value people. Serving is saying that we value people more than spending money. And spending time is saying that we value people more than spending money. So I would say this to, there's quite a few people that said they get in a real bind and then they spend a lot of time recovering from Christmas. So expectation of gifts and a lot of them and expense. And, you know,
I just want to counsel people, please don't feel pressured and go into debt, because debt is not your friend. You become a servant to the person you borrow from, and you don't want that.
And nobody that really loves you, which is, I'm sure, who you're giving gifts to, would ever want you in that situation.
Correct.
You know, somebody could even say, you know what, this year I'm going to actually give everybody the exact same gift. I'm going to just give them a candle, and I'm going to write a note, a personal note about what I appreciate about that person. So we just want to give you permission to actually reframe your life a little bit this Christmas.
But Lisa, do you remember we had a direct family member who just kept putting herself into deeper and deeper debt?
Right.
Because of the pressure to give a really nice gift, because that was her love language.
Right.
And what do we keep telling her?
Don't do it.
Please. They said, we just want you. We want you to come. We understood her financial situation. And I just feel like before we move on, there's some people listening to us right now that you feel like you will not be valued and you will not be loved if you don't give a significant gift. So you go ahead and you run up your credit card. And let me tell you, you're the people that love you, who really, really care about you, they don't want you to do that. So don't do it. Just like Lisa said, find ways of serving them or doing other cute things.
And then early in our marriage, we had the same challenge. I thought this was adorable. This woman said one of the fun things, but also a challenge, was to try to get her husband to make it to Christmas morning. That he always tries to give her gifts early.
We never had that challenge.
Oh, we totally had that challenge. You would chase me around the house. You'd be so excited about something you would pick out. And then by Christmas, I didn't even have any gifts left because you would totally have made me open all of
them.
That
was pretty ridiculous. That was in our first couple of years of marriage.
Yes.
But I got better at it.
It was actually really cute. It was actually really cute.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I love about our Christmas is I watched our kids, and we always had a policy on Christmas morning. We only open one gift at a time because the whole family celebrates the person who's opening. And the youngest always got to open first, and then it went to the next youngest, and on and on. And I remember the year, and you went, you'll remember this well.
They don't open first. They give the first.
No, I remember the year.
Oh, you it was, did or we did?
In the beginning, the youngest got to open first. And I remember the year, and this is really something for me. I remember when our children came to us and said, we don't want to be the first to open. We want to be the first to give if we're the youngest. And you and I were so touched by that because we felt like they had really come to understand the beauty of that Christmas can hold as far as gift giving, that it's much more fun to give than it is to receive. And I know, Lisa, every Christmas I have a lot more fun giving you your gift than getting a gift from you. And
that's
so
great. Because you get better gifts. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, anyway, I'm just saying, enjoy the giving aspect. And you know what? Let your reward come from God. If you don't get a gift back that you expected, please don't put pressure on people and don't let yourself up for an expectation
let down. You know what? We release you from this idea that if somebody spends $50 on you, you need to spend $50 on them. It needs to be according to your budget. And you just need to do
according
it.
According to your heart.
It's according to your heart. Right. Okay. We've got another challenge here. Sarah said, and I think a lot of moms feel this, the challenge of the difference between being busy or present. They get so caught up. They want everything to be amazing for their family that they get so stressed out about everything being perfect that they often aren't present. They really can't enjoy their family. So what would you say to that mom? Because I've been that mom. What would you say to her? I don't do it anymore because I've given up on perfect.
Right.
But what would you say to her?
The people of your family love you and they want to be with you. And if you have meaningful conversations with them, that is remembered long, long past a gift. And I think that when
they'll
I
remember
look back
the tension
at
more
our,
than remember
our
the
Christmases,
gift.
Our family conversations, our family, you know, dynamic of getting to be with each other and enjoy each other has meant more to me than anything else. I mean, Lisa, I don't remember most of my gifts. I mean, very few, but I remember the times we've had with our children and with our families. And so that's the most important thing.
Okay, this family has a cute tradition. They said they all put on their pajamas, get in their car, and drive around. I'm thinking they don't live in Colorado. Drive around to see the Christmas lights, and sometimes they get out, which you would freeze to death if you did that in Colorado, and take pictures in their pajamas.
That's a lot of fun.
So that's really cute.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, build traditions. And this is something my wife has done beautifully. She built traditions that my boys expected every year. She makes gingerbread cookies. She always does a souffle, an egg and bread and cheese souffle in the morning. And our boys love it. They devour it. And she has grapefruits before that. She will have
Whatever your meal.
You know, no.
We
what I'm saying
up.
Is
we do cinnamon rolls.
We just have traditions. I have read the Christmas story to the family on Christmas Eve, and we always usually pick a meaningful movie to watch during Christmas season. It's a Wonderful Life, but our more recent one has been Elf.
And I hate
so,
Elf, but John loves
we
it.
We just do things that everybody expects.
I'm sorry, I do.
We play
it.
Games. They know games are coming. And so build traditions. And what has happened is our son and daughter-in-law love being with us, and they've spent many, many Christmases with us because we've built some traditions that
and
they love.
I think
love.
We play games on the stage too. Hey, listen, okay, talking about families, this is a challenge. So this beautiful family, they're talking about, and I'm just going to read it. They have divorced coupled parents, meaning they're divorced, remarried on each side, estranged family, maybe because they are strange, but estranged, and family that's not safe to be around. You know, I've experienced that. We have adopted family from our church, but nothing brings out the weird dynamics of DNA like holidays. For years, I've hated the advent of, well, the advent. We've always wind up exhausted with six different family events. I really struggle about each season to figure out how to honor our relatives and still protect our kids and emotional health. What would you say to that?
I'm going to let you answer that one.
Wow, you just threw that one right back
right.
at me. Okay, well, first and foremost, I think that you have the right, since you have kids, to start your own traditions, and that you don't have to be everything for everyone or everywhere for everyone. I think you should say, hey, we're going to start grounding ourselves at the holidays because I want to build traditions for my family. And some of those things that you and your husband sit down and write it down, maybe there's some things that you enjoy at your relatives and maybe you can invite them into your world so you're not exhausted. And then people that are unhealthy to be around, yeah, not with kids. I send them a card, you know, but don't put yourself in a position where you have to be around unhealthy things. And it's hard. My parents are divorced. That means, you know, it sounds like you're getting bonus Christmases, but you're not. It's a very uncomfortable situation. And so, you know, I think you can create dynamics where you can say, hey, we'd love to have you over Christmas Eve. We'd love to have you here for Christmas Day, but not necessarily feel like you have to go everywhere and make everybody happy.
Yeah, and don't feel make you pulled. Crazy. You stay in charge of your family.
And
you
I'd ask my kids, say, yeah. What do you really enjoy? What says Christmas to you? And then reassess as the parents of what you think is important for your family for Christmas. And, you know, that weird thing, I think a lot of people do go back into their like pecking order and their weird dynamics when they get around Christmas, the disappointment and stuff.
Now, let me say this. I'd love to all of us, for us to stay focused on what the meaning of Christmas is. And Lisa, I think to me, the greatest meaning of Christmas is God revealed our value to Him. And I will never forget when I was driving for a CEO of a corporation, and I was cleaning his car for him. This is back when I was in my early 20s. And I was stopped by a guy that was, had those stop and slow signs.
Like construction guys.
I remember the Lord just asked me, He said, is that guy worth more than the car you're driving? And it's an obvious question, but it got me to really think. I said, of course he's worth more. He said, well, then what is he worth? And all of a sudden the scripture comes up. You know how the Holy Spirit does it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Well, what Jesus is saying is if you give your life in exchange for all the wealth in the world, you've made an unprofitable deal, which tells us that one individual is worth more than all the wealth in the world. So what is the wealth or the worth of us, each of us as individuals? And then the Holy Spirit brought up, for God so loved the world that he gave.
Mm.
Now, if we go and buy something, let's say, Lisa, you want to buy a tube of lipstick, all right? And
At
the hair house. Yeah, that was from last podcast, I think. But anyway, and that tube of lipstick, they're charging $20. Would you pay for it? A tube of lipstick let's say it like this. It was $100. Would you pay for that?
No.
No, why? Because $100 is worth more than the tube of lipstick. So you're not going to give the $100.
Right.
Well, God is not going to make an unprofitable deal. So for God to give Jesus for us means that our value to God was equal that to Jesus. And Jesus confirms this at the Last Supper when he prayed, Father, show them that you love them as much as you love me. Now, think about it. Jesus and God the Father, all right, the Son and the Father have had from everlasting together. You know, you develop love as you spend time with people. The more we've been married, the more we love each other, the deeper we love each other. So here's God and Jesus have billions and billions, and I'm way short of how long they've had, of time together, if we can say it like that. And then Jesus to come along and say, well, you're worth just as much because God loves you just as much as he loves me. That tells us what our value is. So Christmas to me is the season when our value is made clear by God, because God gave the most expensive ransom he could give in the entire universe to purchase each one of us, and he would have done it if it was just one person. So yeah, that
it really
right
actually
there,
shows kind of how the presents almost undermine the value of what we do. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So that right there, if you're having a tough Christmas season, mm-hmm. Focus on that and not, well, I'm not with this person. I'm not with this group of people. I didn't get this gift. When you focus on that, it's going to keep you from having your expectations vanquished.
You know, John, I want to say a lot of these people said that a lot of, you know, there's quite a few people that spend Christmas alone. There's quite a few people that have a lot of sad memories for Christmas. And I want to actually challenge you to break the mold, to release and ask for some help from other people. If you're going to be alone this Christmas, and maybe people aren't going to know you're going to be alone, ask them. Say, I'm going to be alone, and I don't want to be alone. Can I be part of your family? Can you guys adopt me for the day or whatever? And I know that sounds scary, but or if you're not comfortable asking other people to adopt you, then adopt some other people. Invite some people into your world this Christmas, and make it simple. And then talk to your kids. Talk to your kids now. This is December 19th. You got 6 days. Talk to your kids now. Streamline your life. They don't want a stressed out mom. They don't want a dad that feels like he has to go in debt and be, you know, upset about giving something. Find out what's really important to your family and then celebrate those things. Edit your life so that actually what you really, really enjoy the most goes. And then don't forget what John said, that God gave his most extravagant gift because that's the way he sees your value. That's the way he values his children. And so if you can't, don't ever measure your value by the gifts other people give you. Measure your value by the gift God gave for you, that his gave his son for your life, because that is how important you are to him. Thank you for joining us with Conversations. You want to say something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on. Just wish everybody a very
merry, oh, that's right,
happy Christmas.
No, he may not sing.
It's the tradition.
Joel, okay.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle bells. There we go.
I did it. It's a tradition. I have to sing somewhere, either on a partner video or on a podcast every Christmas.
Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. I almost cut you off on that. So
that was a joyful noise.
That was.
Yes.
It really wasn't that bad. I feel like you're improving.
Really? Yeah, okay,
I
good.
I really do feel like you're improving.
I'll sing for everybody. I'll do... What do I want to say?
Honey, that's enough.
What do you call it?
Thank
you
for joining
songs,
us today for Conversations. You can write a review about not John singing. Subscribe and share this podcast on iTunes. We do really hope you have an amazing Christmas, and please have a happy, happy new year. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. Also, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions that you'd like for us to address on future episodes, please send those our way at messengerinternational.org/podcast. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.